بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening this is going to be our sixth session reading from Bawaith Al-Khalas Min Al-Dhunub, yani those matters, those means or ways through which a person can free themselves or escape from sins. And the origin, yani the text from this book is from Al-Imam Shamsuddin Abu Abdullah Muhammad Ibn Abdi Bakr Al-Dimashqi Al-Hanbali, better known as Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim Rahimahullah. And the commentary is from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, we're going to be looking at the six ba'ith, or the six way or means of freeing oneself from sins. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick look at some of the matters that we discussed in the previous session from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 5. So the first question is: summarize the fifth ba'ith, yani the fifth religious motivational factor presented by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. The fifth ba'ith. Now, Adam.
The loss that a person may suffer as a result of committing sin.
Yani that a person recognize and acknowledge and be conscious of the loss that they will suffer as a result of the commission of sins. Those, the good of this world and the next life that they will lose as a result of disobedience to Allah. The second question: what does Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mention as the greatest loss resulting from disobedience to Allah? The greatest loss that a person will suffer as a result of disobedience to Allah. Naam? Okay, the decrease or the loss of iman, yani that results from a person doing things that are in disobedience to Allah. And as Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim mentions, that this iman, the least amount of it, is better than the dunya and all that it contains, many times over. Question number 3, memorize the hadith which he, rahimahullah, mentions in support of this point. The hadith that Ibn Qayyim mentioned. Now, I mean, yeah. Okay, a zani is not a believer while he's committing zina. Fine. Anyway, Arabic? Memorize it in Arabic? Are you guessing or do you memorize it? We don't have time. If anybody memorize it, let's listen. Okay. Fine, Adil.
La yuzni al-zani.
La yuzni al-zani.
Yuzni.
وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ Yani that's the part of the hadith that Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim mentions, and the hadith goes on to say likewise that the person who drinks alcohol is not a believer while they're drinking alcohol, and the one who steals is not a believer while they are stealing. The fourth question mentioned the explanation of this hadith from some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. How did some of the companions of the Prophet, or one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explain the meaning of this hadith? Naam, Abdul Wali.
Doing so until
this
person makes tawbah.
Tayyib. But there's a point here that is mentioned, that the Shaykh mentioned in the explanation of this hadith. He said that the person who commits zina is not a believer while they're committing zina, meaning that the iman does what?
Decrease.
The iman? The iman is hanging over their head like a canopy. And if they repent, then it will return to them. And if they repent, then it will return to them. And some of the tabi'in, they said in their explanation that it's like a garment, a shirt that a person wears, yani when they commit these types of acts, then it is removed from them. And if they repent, then they will wear it again. And this second explanation is related to the fifth question. Yani mentioned the explanation of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah of the hadith. The hadith of those who commit zina being naked, in an oven which is heated up in the hellfire. How did Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim explain this hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari? Na'am. Fadl.
That because they allow themselves to be engulfed by the burning of the desire, they'll be placed inside of an oven and they'll burn.
طيب. There's an important part here that he mentions that's related to the second explanation. That the, some of the tabi'in, they explained this previous hadith to mean that it's like a shirt. That when a person is engaged in this type of major sins, that it's removed from them. And if they repent, then they wear it again. So Ibn al-Qayyim mentions, what you said is correct, but he also mentioned related to that explanation, that the explanation of the people who commit zina being naked in the burning oven in the hellfire is that they have removed the garment of iman by their action, and that's why they're naked. And then the oven, as you mentioned, the burning desire that was in their heart that wasn't seen now becomes as a visible oven that they will be, yani that will be heated up in the hellfire. Naam. Question number 6. Due to committing major sins, a believer is deprived of the description of al-iman at-tam, and instead is described as what? First of all, what is meant by al-iman at-tam? What is intended by this expression, or what is the meaning of it? Naam, partay.
Perfect
iman, complete and perfect iman. Yani by a person engaging in major sins, then they are deprived of this description of just being called as a mu'min, but rather then they will be described as what? Naam. I'm sorry, Sharif. Sharif?
Naam.
A disobedient believer. A disobedient believer. Yani mu'min, yani asin, or mu'min fajir, or mu'min fasiq. Yani they will be described as a mu'min, but with another description due to their sin. That they will be described as a disobedient believer, or a sinful believer, or a corrupt, immoral believer because of their yani sinful behavior. So they're deprived of the pure description of being a mu'min. Rather, that mu'min is qualified. The iman is qualified yani by descriptions that are related to the acts that they engaged in, the corruption, the sinful yani disobedient behavior. Question number 7. Mention another great loss possibly suffered by a believer due to the commission of acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another possible loss that a believer could be subject to, Abdul Wali?
The completion of perfection of iman.
No doubt, the completion of perfection of iman is lost, but naam.
The removal of
their good deeds. Yani they may also lose out on their good deeds. They may lose out on their hasanat due to committing these sins. Question number 8, discuss the hadith of Thawban mentioned in the commentary to support this great loss due to sin. Yani the hadith of Thawban that's related to a person, a believer possibly yani losing their good deeds as a result of their sinful behavior. What is the hadith of Thawban? Yani just summarize the hadith. Naam. Now, that the Prophet ﷺ said that he definitely knows that there are some people from his ummah that will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with hasanat, yani good deeds that would be like the mountains of Tihama. And the Prophet ﷺ said, yani due to their sinful behavior, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will scatter their good deeds like scattered dust particles. And the narration goes on to explain that these people would be Muslims because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Innahum ikhwanukum, wa min jildatikum." Yani they are your brothers in Islam. They are Muslims, and they are from your people, min jildatikum, from your race, from your people. But the thing is, and the Prophet ﷺ also said that they would, yani they would actually have some credit for engaging in some of the worship of the night, like standing in the night, like you do. But the difference is that these people, when they are alone, or when they are out of view, or when they are not being observed, that they will violate the maharam of Allah, yani, without any care or consideration. And as a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would يعني take away their good deeds. Question number 9 mentioned the statement of Qatada rahimahullah, which supports this point. The statement of Qatada which supports this point. What did he say? Rahimahullah. Anybody? Now, fadda.
Whoever is able to invalidate a good deed with a bad deed, he must stop from doing it. No, sir. Whoever is able to avoid invalidating a good deed with a bad deed, he must stop.
Now, whoever is able to avoid, yani invalidating, canceling a good deed that he has done because of a sinful, evil deed. Whoever is able to avoid this, then he must do so. He must avoid it. For indeed, good deeds remove evil deeds, and evil deeds remove good deeds. The last question summarized the first 5 bawa'if, motivational factors mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim. The first 5 of them. What are the first 5 bawa'if? Number 1, in order, please. In order, please. The first of them. Naam. Fadl.
Ijlal azamahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Naam. Ijlal Allah wa azamahu. The second of them. The second of them. Naam. Abdul Wali.
Hibbullah. Huh? Hibbullah.
Yani mahabba. Mahabbatullah. Mahabbatullah. Yani the love of Allah due to which a person, yani, would avoid committing acts of disobedience. The third of them. The third. Naam.
Consciousness of the blessings of Allah and aware of the results of each shy.
Consciousness of the blessings and favors and bounties of Allah due to which a person would be shy. And he receiving all the blessings of Allah and in exchange, and they returning acts of disobedience and sin. The fourth of them. Somebody else, who didn't give us one yet? Who didn't give us one yet? Fadl. Huh? You did? Fadl, okay, go ahead. Okay, being conscious, aware, acknowledging that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person continuously engages in sin, it angers Allah. And if Allah becomes angry, then he punishes. And no one can withstand his punishment. And the fifth that we took last week is, that we mentioned already, naam.
Being conscious of the loss of good.
Being conscious of the loss of good. The good that a person could have received in this world and in the next life. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at the 6 of these matters due to which a person may be able to escape and avoid the commission of sin. And as I mentioned in previous sessions, the text of the statement of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim is unfortunately in the back of the book. Jazakallah khair. The text is in the back of the book. So this point is on page 59. And it goes over to page 60 in the back of the book. And then we're going to come back to the front of the book, and where the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Razak goes. Okay, so in the back of the book is the text of the statement of Ibn Qayyim. It's translated like this on the bottom of page 59. The consciousness of suppression and victory. If the servant suppresses his desires and conquers the devil, then he will experience sweetness, happiness, and delight greater than the sweetness, greater and sweeter than that obtained from the defeat of one's human enemies. The end result of this is like taking beneficial medicine that removes the illness of the body and returns it to health and homeostasis. Whatever that means. Fine. So, yani, this is the text for the 6th point, and we're going to go and read from the Arabic text and look at yani, what Ibn Qayyim said in a little bit of detail, and then we'll look at the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Razak. As I mentioned, the text, the translation of this text of Ibn Qayyim is on page 59, bottom of page 59 and 60. And we're going to be reading in Arabic from page 20, which has the text of the statement of Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, as well as the yani ta'liq, the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Razak, on page 20, 21, and 22. Also, I'm going to note that there's a hadith mentioned in this commentary that's not in the English text. So when we come to the hadith, just be aware that it's not, it hasn't been translated. And there's also in the Arabic commentary of the Shaykh, there's also a brief explanation from Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, from another writing that's also not included in the English translation. So both of those any notes, I'll mention them inshallah when we come to them, but just be aware. Otherwise, any other than those two points, most of the translation yani is intact, except for those two points, and maybe we'll add some other commentary inshallah. So we're going to begin in the Arabic on page 20, and in English it's on page 20 as well. And in English translation, I think it's also on page 20, where, well, in the English translation it starts with the commentary. We're going to read first from the text of the statement of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, which we already read from the English translation from the back of the book. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, As-sadisu, yani the sixth matter that a person can utilize to help them, yani to avoid committing sins, to escape from falling into sin. He says, As-sadisu, mashhadu al-kahri wa-dhafari. Yani this is the acknowledgement, yani the recognition, the consciousness, a person calling to mind, yani the idea of conquering and defeating. He says, فَإِنَّ قَهْرَ الشَّهْوَةِ وَالظَّفَرَ بِالشَّيْطَانِ لَهُ حَلَاوَةٌ وَمَسَرَّةٌ وَفَرْحَةٌ إِنَّ مَنْ ذَاكَ ذَلِكَ أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الظَّفَرْ بِعَدُوِكَ مِنَ الْآدَمِيِّينَ وَأَحْلَى مَوْقِعًا وَأَتَمَّ فَرْحَةً. Yani this mashhad, this matter that a person needs to be conscious of and call to mind, bring to the forefront of their mind and reflect upon, acknowledge and recognize, is that defeating the shahwa, or yani what may also be referred to later on as an nafs, yani overcoming one's desires or one's yani nafs al-amara bisu, that commands the one to do evil, and being victorious over the shaitan. These two things, yani conquering one's shahwa, one's desires or nafs, and defeating the shaitan, has a halawa, a sweetness, and a masarra, a happiness, and a farha, a delight, for the one who experiences that, who experiences the conquering of their nafs and the being victorious over the shaitan. This person, there is a sweetness and a happiness and a joy that they will experience that's greater than that which one experiences when they conquer or defeat their enemy from amongst the human beings. And it is sweeter than that, and it is more complete and perfect in the happiness or the delight that a person experiences. Conquering one's nafs, yani overcoming, subduing one's nafs, and conquering the shaitan, yani the person who does so is going to experience a happiness and a joy and a delight and a sweetness that is greater than and sweeter than and more complete and perfect than that which one experiences in the defeating of their enemy from amongst the human beings. Then he says, وَأَمَّا عَاقِبَتُهُ فَأَحْمَدُ عَاقِبَةً. Yani as for the end result, the aqibah, what happens in the end for the one who defeats and conquers his nafs and shaitan, then it is the most praiseworthy ending that a person could ever experience. وَهُوَ كَعَاقِبَةِ شُرْبِ الدَّوَاءِ النَّافِعِ الَّذِي أَزَالَ دَاءَ الْجَسَدِ وَأَعَادَهُ إِلَى صِحَّتِهِ وَاعْتِدَالِهِ. So this aqibah, this end result of a person striving to overcome, to resist, to defeat, to conquer their nafs that calls them to do evil, and defeating shaitan, the end result of this, it is like the end result of the person who takes a beneficial medicine which removes the illness from the body, and it returns the body to its condition of good health and its i'tidal, yani its balance, its equilibrium, yani where the body functions, systems are all yani balanced and in accord with one another. The one who defeats his nafs and conquers shaitan, the end result of this is like the one who is sick, and they take beneficial medicine that removes that sickness and returns the body to good health and its condition, yani of being, yani everything functioning in its normal way. This is how Ibn Qayyim has explained the sixth matter, and the Shaykh summarizes it in his title. He summarizes this whole matter in one sentence after he says the sixth matter from amongst those things that help a person to abandon sins. He says it is لَذَّةُ قَهْرِ النَّفْسِ وَإِرْغَامِ الشَّيْطَانِ. He summarizes as what? Yani the sweetness of yani conquering the nafs and overcoming, subduing the shaitan. That there's a sweetness to this. There's a joy. There's a happiness that a person experiences with this. He goes on to say, فَالنَّفْسُ وَالشَّيْطَانُ هُمَا مَصْدَرُ الْآثَامِ وَمَنْبَعُ الشُّرُورِ. That the nafs, the self or the soul, yani that commands one to do evil, and the shaitan, these two are the source of sins and the origin of all evil. The nafs and the shaitan. And the Shaykh is going to bring a hadith which supports this meaning, that these are the two things that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah is focusing on, because the nafs and the shaitan, yani the nafs internally and the shaitan externally, are the sources of sin and the sources of evil. He says, فَالْعَبْدُ, in light of that, فَالْعَبْدُ إِذَا جَانَبَ الْمَعَصِيَةِ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ قَهَرَ نَفْسَهُ وَأَرْغَمَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَذَاكَ حَلَاوَةِ الْعِزَّةِ بِطَاعَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So in this case, the abd, the worshipper of Allah, if he distances himself, avoids al-ma'asiyah, sin, yani if he struggles and strives to avoid sin, فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ قَهَرَ نَفْسَهُ, then indeed he has conquered his nafs. And he has subdued the shaitan. And he will taste the sweetness of the izzah, the honor that a person earns through obedience to Ar-Rahman. And if a person is able to distance themselves from sin, to utilize these matters by the help and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person will have subdued and conquered and defeated their nafs and shaitan. And as a result of that, that person will taste the sweetness of the honor that a person will receive due to obedience to Ar-Rahman, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, وَشَاهِدُ ذَلِكَ, and that which is an evidence, which bears witness to that which yani has been mentioned above, وَشَاهِدُ ذَلِكَ مَا صَحَّ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لَيُنْضِي شَيَاطِينَهُ كَمَا يُنْضِي أَحَدُكُمْ بَعِيرَهُ فِي الصَّفْرِ. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said that indeed the mu'min, the person who has iman, he will yani wear down or wear out his shayateen just as one of you wears down his camel in a journey. Yani just like a person rides a camel and loads it with a load on a journey until it wears the animal down and causes it to become lean and become weak. In the same way, the Prophet ﷺ said the believer wears down his shayateen. In some of the narrations it's mentioned in the singular, his shaytan. Just as one of you wears out a camel during the journey. The Shaykh, he says, وَقَوْلُهُ يُنْضِي أَيْ يُضْعِفْ وَيُحْزِلْ شَيْطَانَهُ كَالدَّابَةِ الَّتِي أَحْزَلَتْهَا الْأَسْفَارُ وَأَذْهَبَتْ لَحْمَهَا. Yani he said the meaning of the believer will wear out his shaitan like one of you wears out his camel in a journey. Yani يُنْضِي means to weaken. Yani he will weaken the shaitan. And he will cause him to become emaciated, to become lean, to be worn out. Just as the riding animal is emaciated from a journey, and it becomes lean. يعني أذهبت لحمها. يعني its meat is decreased. يعني it becomes lean from the hardship of the journey. Then the Shaykh explains, and this is a brief explanation, and there's a lot of commentary on this hadith, but this is a brief explanation that inshallah, and he really covers the matter in the way that is really beautiful. This wearing down shaitan, like one of you wears down his riding animal in a journey. He said, wearing down shaitan, وَذَلِكَ بِتَرْكِهِ الشَّهَوَاتِ. And this is done by abandoning desires. وَإِقْبَالِهِ عَلَى الطَّاعَاتِ. And that a person eagerly goes after doing acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمُخَالَفَتِهِ لِأَوَامِرِ الشَّيْطَانِهِ. لِأَوَامِرْ شَيْطَانِهِ. And by opposing the commands of his shaitan. Yani how does a person wear out shaitan? Wear him down? Make him weak? He does it by abandoning desires. By not answering the call of the nafs that calls one to do evil, to engage in one's desires that Allah has prohibited. By abandoning those desires. And by opposing the commands of shaitan. And by also being eager in seeking to do acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are three matters that a person has to think about and focus on. Because it has to be applied. And there has to be practical application. The weakening and the subduing of shaitan is by a person refusing to follow their desires that are in disobedience to Allah. And by opposing the commands of shaitan, the evil commands that come from the nafs and the evil commands that come from shaitan. And then in addition to that, taking it to the next step, and that is being diligent and eager in going after doing acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not just trying to avoid committing sin, but it also requires that a person be eager to do acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam As-Sindi, in his commentary on this hadith, he says, a lengthy commentary, I'll read it, just a bit of it. He says, Al-Murad anna min sha'ni al-mu'min mukhalafatu al-shayateen wa tasghiruhum wa fi al-tashbih tanbih ala anna haqq al-mu'min an yughliba ala al-shaytan hatta yakuna al-shaytan tahtahu مُطِيعًا لَهُ كَدَّابًا. He said that what is intended by this hadith is that from the affair of the believer is that he opposes the shayateen. That's the way of the believer. The believer is not one who is obedient to shaitan. Because this description of iman requires that a person fulfill what's required by iman. And that is to avoid disobedience to Allah and to engage in that which is pleasing to him. So it is from the affair of the mu'min that he opposes, that he contradicts and rejects the commands of shaitan, and he makes the shayateen to be little, to minimize and diminish them, and don't give them much importance. And in this tashbih, between the believer subduing shaitan as a person wears down the camel in a journey, he said this is to bring to our attention that it is from the right of the believer, and what is expected of the believer, that he overcome the shaitan. In the same way that a person subdues their animal and makes it to be obedient to them, to take them where they want to go and do what they want to do, this is the way the believer is with shaitan. The believer is not obedient to shaitan, rather the believer subdues shaitan and makes shaitan obedient to him. And he doesn't comply with the commands of shaitan, but rather he subdues shaitan. Until shaitan is tahtahu, muti'an lahu kadaba. Till shaitan is subject to him, subdued to him. Under his command and obedient to him, like the animal that he's riding that follows his commands. The animal doesn't take him where the animal wants to go, rather, the animal takes him where he orders the animal to take him. He's in charge. It has also been said that the believer wears out shaitan by opposing his commands and subduing him by sticking to the sharia of Allah, yani sticking to the Quran and the sunnah. And he destroys the shaitan with la ilaha illallah wal istighfar, yani that a person is constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah, especially la ilaha illallah and istighfar. Just a bit, a couple of other comments concerning this particular hadith. Al-Imam Al-Manawi, in his Shar of Jami al-Saghir, yani Fayd al-Qadir, he says that in this hadith there is an indication by the Prophet ﷺ using the expression la yundi instead of yani yuhlik, that he said yundi, that he will weaken him, he will wear him down, instead of saying he will absolutely destroy him. He said that the use of this expression is to indicate or to indirectly point to the fact that the believer will never be completely free from shaitan as long as he is alive, as long as he is living. Because the shaitan will continue, even in that weak state, he will continue to strive against him, against his heart, and to challenge him. And the believer will continue to yani fight back until he dies. It was said to Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, ayyanamu iblis? Yani it was said to Hasan al-Basri, does iblis go to sleep? Yani perhaps the person is saying, every time I look around, he's coming at me. Does he ever sleep? فَتَبَسَّمَ وَقَالَ لَوْ نَامَ لَوَجَدْنَا رَاحَةً. He smiled and he said, if he were to sleep, we would get some rest. There's no rest in this life from shaitan. It's also narrated with a isnad the sahih from yani as a report from yani statement from Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. It's narrated by Abdul Razak in his yani musannif with a isnad the sahih that Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said that the shaitan, a shaitan of a believer met a shaitan of a kafir. Yani the shaitan of a believer met another shaitan who was the shaitan of a kafir. And the shaitan of the kafir, he saw that the shaitan of the believer was worn out. So he said to him, yani the shaitan of the kafir said, what happened to you? Yani what's going on? And the shaitan of the believer said, I'm not able to get anywhere with this one. When he eats, he mentions the name of Allah. And when he drinks, he mentions the name of Allah. And when he sleeps, he mentions the name of Allah. And when he enters his house, he mentions the name of Allah. And this meaning came from a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the person who mentions the name of Allah when they enter the house, shaitan will not enter with him. But the person who mentions the name of Allah when he eats, shaitan will not be able to eat with him. The person who mentions the name of Allah when he sleeps, shaitan will not enjoy a place of rest. So the remembrance of Allah, remembering Allah all the time, praising and glorifying Allah, is one of the ways to subdue the shaitan. The other shaitan, he said, as for me, I eat when he eats, and I drink when he drinks, and I sleep on his bed. Yani because the kafir is not remembering Allah. So this is a really important point for us to remember, the importance of remembrance of Allah, the importance of la ilaha illallah, the importance of istighfar. Yani that a Muslim has to be constantly engaged in jihad against shaitan, and the worship of Allah and obedience to Allah and the remembrance of Allah and dua, asking Allah's help, all of these are things that actually help the believer to overcome the shaitan. After the mention of this hadith, the Shaykh, he says, وَمِمَّا يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ النَّفْسُ وَالشَّيْطَانُ هُمَا مَصْدَرَ الْآثَامُ وَالشُّرُورُ أَمْرُ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم بِالْإِسْتِعَاذَةِ مِنْهُمَا فِي كُلِّ الصَّبَاحِ وَالْمَسَاءِ وَعِنْدَ أَخْ الْمَجْعَى. And he said, from amongst those things they indicate or point to the fact that the nafs and the shaitan are the source of sins and the source of evil. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah is telling us in this point that a person must subdue their nafs and they must subdue shaitan. And that's because these are the two sources of sin and the sources of evil. And the Shaykh Abdul Razak, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says, from that which indicates this reality, that the nafs and the shaitan are the source of sins and the source of evil, is the command of the Prophet ﷺ to seek refuge from these two every morning and every evening and at the time when a person goes to bed. The Prophet ﷺ commanded that a person seek refuge, yani in the morning and in the evening at the time of going to sleep, from these two, from the nafs that commands a person to do evil and the shaitan that commands a person to do evil. He mentions, yani the Shaykh mentions here a hadith that's reported by Abu Dawud and al-Tirmidhi and others. He says, فَقَالَ لِأَبِي بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, قُلْ اللَّهُمَّ فَاتِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ عَالِمَ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ رَبَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَمَلِيكَ. And by the way, in the printing of the Arabic text, the vowelling of Malika is Kasra, يعني مَلِيكِه, it should be يعني مَلِيكَهُ, مَلِيكَ, with Fatah instead of Kasra. Yani the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Bakr, yani this is on an occasion when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is narrated in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that Abu Bakr asked the Prophet ﷺ to command him with some words or to command him with something that he can say in the morning and in the evening. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, say, Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard. The first part of this supplication is the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his yani characteristics and qualities and descriptions, due to which yani he alone deserves to be worshipped, and due to which he alone is the one that we should call on for help, seek refuge in him from the nafs and from the shaitan. He said, say, Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard, O Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. These are from the qualities and characteristics of Allah that show the absolute greatness and glory and power and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, yani everything that exists. Alim al-ghaybi wa shahada, the one who knows that which is hidden or unseen and that which is visible or witnessed. Yani the one who knows everything. The ghayb, which people don't see or know, and the thing that is witnessed and seen. Rabba kulli shayin wa malikahu, yani the one who is the Rabb and the King, the Sovereign of everything that exists. These are three qualities and characteristics due to which the Prophet ﷺ told him to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, I bear witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except you. A'udhu bika min sharri nafsi وَمِنْ شَرِّ الشَّيْطَانِ وَشِرْكِهِ, and I seek refuge in you from the evil of my nafs. That's the first of the sources of evil and sin. وَمِنْ شَرِّ الشَّيْطَانِ وَشِرْكِهِ, and from the evil of shaitan and his shirk, yani his calling people to worship something along with Allah. In some of the narrations of this hadith, there's the mention of the last part which is important to this topic, and that is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ to say, وَأَنْ أَقَتَّرِفَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي سُوءًا أَوْ أَجُرَّهُ إِلَىٰ مُسْلِمٍ, and that, yani I seek refuge, yani I seek refuge in Allah from committing evil against my own self, harming myself, or bringing evil to another Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, then, قُلْهَا إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ وَإِذَا أَخَذْتَ مَجَّعَكَ, yani say this, say these words when you reach the morning, and say these words when you reach the evening, and say these words when you are going to bed. The hadith is reported by Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi. Here, the Shaykh mentions the statement, a brief explanation of this hadith from Ibn Qayyim, and then he closes with his closing comments. The statement of Ibn Qayyim is also contained in some detail with other commentary from Sheikh Abdul Razak that I think is important, that can be beneficial to us. So I'm going to take a minute here since we have mashallah plenty of time. Sheikh Abdul Razak, in his book The Adhkar and Ad'iyah, he mentions this very hadith, and he has a very beautiful commentary on it. I'm going to read some of it, not the whole of it, but in that commentary he mentions the statement of Ibn Qayyim, so I'm going to read it from his commentary. He says that from the Adhkar al-Sabah al-Masa, the words of remembrance of morning and evening, is this tremendous dhikr and this beneficial supplication which the Prophet ﷺ taught to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu at the time when he asked him to guide him to some words that he should say in the morning and the evening. So it's narrated by Tirmidhi and Abu Dawud and others from the hadith of Abu Hurairah that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said, O Messenger of Allah, command me with some words that I will say in the morning and in the evening. And he said, say, O Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who knows the unseen and the seen, the Lord and the King of everything that exists. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except you. And I seek refuge in you from the evil of myself and from the evil of Shaitan and his shirk. And in some of the narrations, and in one of the narrations of At-Tirmidhi, it has these additional words that are not narrated in Abu Dawud, when أَقْتَرِفَ عَلَى نَفْسِ سُوءًا أَوْ أَجُرَّهُ إِلَى مُسْلِمٍ, and that I seek refuge in you from committing evil against my own self, or bringing evil upon another Muslim. The Prophet said, say this in the morning, say it in the evening, and say it when you are going to bed. Again, this hadith is reported by Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi. The extra words are in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and this hadith is also reported in the Fortress of the Muslim, supplication number 85. Now the Shaykh, as I mentioned, has a lengthy commentary. I want to allude to some of it, and I want to encourage us from hearing how this supplication is explained. I want to encourage us to memorize it. And it's something that the Prophet ﷺ commanded Abu Bakr as-Siddiq with. If he commanded Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he's the best of this ummah, and the best of humanity after the prophets and messengers, then how much more so are we in need of it? He said, say it every morning, say it every evening, and say it before going to bed. If any one of us, or every one of us, who is not saying this every morning and every evening, and he thinks about the importance of this supplication, then we'll see that we need to learn it, and we need to recite it. And if a person didn't memorize it in one day or 2 days or a week or a month or a year, read it. Read it. So the Shaykh said this is a tremendous dua, that it is mustahab, it is commendable for a Muslim to say every morning and evening at the time of going to sleep. And it contains seeking refuge in Allah, and seeking safety with Allah, and seeking protection with Allah from every type of evil. From the sources of evil, where they start at, the nafs and the shaitan, and from the nataij and nihayati, the consequences, the results, and the end result of that evil. The Prophet ﷺ began this supplication that he taught to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he began with tawassulat azima, with some tremendous, magnificent words due to which a person seeks nearness to Allah. And he mentions some of the lofty qualities and some of the noble characteristics of Allah that point to His greatness, His majesty, and His perfection. So first, he mentioned these words as a means of nearness to Allah. And he mentions that Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. That is, He is the creator of everything that exists. He's the one who produced it. He's the one who brought it into existence, after it had not existed at all. He is Fatir as-Samawati wal-Ard, the creator of the heavens and the earth, meaning He's the creator of everything. He is Alim al-Ghaybi wa-Shahada, meaning there's nothing hidden from Him. He is the one who knows everything that is hidden from the people and that which is apparent to them. The hidden unseen to Him is known, and the secret to Him is also open. His knowledge includes, encompasses everything. Then he sought nearness to Allah by saying, by the third quality or characteristic, that is رب كل شيء ملكه, that he is the يعني the رب, the Lord, and the يعني the king, the sovereign over everything. He said nothing is outside of his rububiyya, his lordship, يعني his kingdom, his sovereignty. يعني he is the owner and the master of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the رب العالمين, the Lord of all the worlds. وهو مالك للخلق أجمعين, and he is the owner and the master of everything in the creation, all of it. Then he announces, after those qualities, he announces the Tawheed of Allah, and he affirms for Allah alone, Ubudiyya, that he is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. That he is the Ma'bud Bihaq, he is the one that has a right to be worshipped, that deserves to be worshipped, and there is nothing that is worshipped that has a right to be worshipped except him. He said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. There's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except you. And he said, all of this is just introductory words before the dua, before the supplication, where a person is openly displaying their need and their poverty and their indigence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person is in complete yani need of Allah. Where a person is acknowledging Allah's majesty and His greatness and His glory and confirming the greatness of His characteristics and the nobleness of his qualities, and then he mentions his need and his request, and that is that he's seeking refuge from every type of evil. He said, أعوذ بك, I seek refuge in you, من شر نفسي, from the evil of my nafs, and that's the first source of evil and sin. وشر شيطان وشركه, and from the evil of shaitan and his calling to shirk, to worshipping something besides Allah. وأن أقترف على نفسي سوء, or that I bring and commit something that is evil, that causes harm to myself. And this is the result of the evil of the nafs and the evil of shaitan, that you bring harm to your own self. أو أجره إلى مسلم, or that I bring harm to a Muslim. The Shaykh says, here in these words, the Prophet ﷺ has combined between seeking refuge in Allah, من أصول الشر, ومنابعه, يعني seeking refuge in Allah from the roots and the sources of evil. ومن نهايته ونتائجه, and from the end result of this evil and its consequences. يعني in these few words, أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن وشر شيطان وشركي, يعني is the seeking refuge in Allah from the two sources of evil. And in the second part of it, when أقترف على نفسي سوء أو جره إلى مسلم, يعني is seeking refuge in Allah from a person bringing harm to their self or bringing harm to another Muslim. And these are the consequences of the evil that come from the nafs and shaitan, that either a person brings harm to their own self or they bring harm to another Muslim. Here the Shaykh mentions the words of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, which are quoted in the text of the book that we're reading from. He says, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, in his commentary on this hadith, he says that the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned the two sources of evil, that is the nafs and the shaitan. And he has mentioned the two places of destination, or where the evil will end up at, and that is, yani will return to the person himself, or will bring harm to another, to his Muslim brother. فَجَمَعَ الْحَدِيثِ مَصَادِرَ الشَّرِّ وَمَوَارِدَهُ فِي أَوْجَزْ لَفْذٍ وأخصر في أوجز لفظ وأخصره وأجمعه وأبينه. So the Prophet ﷺ has combined, has collected together in this hadith the sources of evil, yani the nafs and the shaitan, and the end result of evil in the most concise expression and the most summarized expression, and at the same time the most comprehensive and clearest expression that one could bring. فالحديث فيه تعوذ بالله عز وجل من أربع أمور تتعلق بالشر. So this hadith contains seeking refuge in Allah from four matters that are all connected to evil. The first of them is شر النفس, the evil of the nafs. The second of them is شر الشيطان, the evil of shaitan. The third of them is that a person, يعني اقتراف الإنسان السوء على نفسه, that a person commits some evil that brings harm to their self. And the fourth of them is جر السوء على المسلمين, that a person brings evil to the Muslims. The Shaykh comments on each one of these matters. The first of them, the evil Yani the four matters, the evil of oneself. Yani the evil of oneself is what breeds evil deeds and sin and acts of disobedience. And the evil of shaitan, yani it is well known, the enmity of shaitan towards the human being, yani who motivates the human being to commit sins and acts of disobedience and stimulates falsehood in a person's soul and in their heart. The Shaykh says, وَشِرْكِهِ أي مَا يَدْعُ إِلَيْهِ مِنِ الشِّرْكِ Yani the shirk of shaitan is that which he calls to, the shirk that he calls people to do. And in some of the narrations, it's narrated, شَرَكِهِ Instead of shirkihi, شَرَكِهِ He said this means the traps of shaitan. Seeking refuge from the evil of shaitan and his traps. The third matter is that a person brings harm upon their self. And this is one of the results of the evil, that it returns back to the person himself, that it comes back to him. And the fourth of them is that a person brings evil upon the Muslims. And this is another result from the consequences of evil, that it returns to other people, yani the Muslims in particular. The Shaykh, he closes by saying that in this hadith, yani there's the combination or the collection of seeking refuge in Allah from all of those four matters of evil. So oh how comprehensive is this hadith, and oh how superb is its meaning, and oh how complete and perfect is its encompassment of the means and the ways of escaping from every type of evil. This is a yani this is a dua that every one of us is in need to learn. The Shaykh closes with these words. He says, فَالْعَبْدْ إِذَا اسْتَحْضَرَ هذا المعنى وترك المعصية قهرا للنفس الأمارة بالسوء إرغاما لعدوه الشيطان واعتزازا بطاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى فاز فوزا عظيما في الدنيا والآخرة. يعني the abd, the worship of Allah, إذا استحضر هذا المعنى, if a person calls to mind, yani makes yourself to be conscious and aware, recognize and acknowledges this meaning that's contained yani in this matter, yani the need to overcome, to defeat, to conquer the nafs that calls to evil and the shaitan that calls to evil. If a person calls this to mind, this meaning, and recognizes the honor that one would receive by avoiding sin, avoiding, yani rejecting the call of the nafs that calls to evil and the shaitan that calls to evil, and instead, yani eagerly seeks to engage in acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, if a person calls this to mind, and as a result of that, they abandon sin. قَهْرًا لِلنَّفْسِ الْأَمَارَةِ بِالسُّوءِ Yani intending by it, for the purpose of, yani they abandon sin in order to overcome, to conquer, to defeat their lower self that calls them to evil. وَإِرْغَامًا لِعَدُوِي الشَّيْطَانِ And intending by it, yani the person abandons sin, intending by it what? To subdue his enemy, the shaitan. And intending by it, abandoning sin with the intention. Yani وَاَتِزَازًا Yani مِنْ أَجْلِ اَتِزَازًا بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ That a person abandons sin, seeking honor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of obedience to Him. Then this person would have been successful. They would have attained a great, magnificent success in this world and in the next life. فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ So that's the end of what the Shaykh said. And suffice it that the commentary that we read from the Shaykh from his book on the supplications and the adhkar, yani let that be sufficient for us to know the importance of this supplication. Here there are two benefits from what the Shaykh has mentioned here, this hadith, the hadith where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet to command him with something that he should say in the morning and the evening. The first benefit is that from this hadith we learn that the nafs and the shaitan are the two sources of evil. And that's why it was mentioned. The second benefit from it is that this is a dua that a believer needs to be saying, and it is one of the greatest means through which a person can abandon sin. Yani asking Allah to grant you protection, seeking refuge with Allah, to protect you from the evil of yourself and the evil of shaitan and the consequences that come from that, that bring harm to yourself or bring harm to other Muslims. So this supplication is, in addition to it being a proof that the nafs and the shaitan are the two sources of evil, and that the consequences of evil either come back to yourself or to other people, in addition to that, the Shaykh has also given us a supplication, yani, that we need to be saying every morning and every evening and at the time of retiring for bed. May Allah grant us success in learning this dua and yani, reviewing its meanings to see its importance and its greatness so that our heart can be inspired by it, so that it will take a place in our heart and it will be something that we will stick to, that we will hold fast to, that we will recite it every morning and every evening and before going to sleep. Only, yani, success is only with Allah. The person who desires to do this will not be successful without help from Allah. So we ask Allah to grant us success in reciting these words that were taught to the best of humanity after the prophets and messengers, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, by the Prophet of Allah, the best of the prophets and messengers. He commanded him to say them in the morning and in the evening before going to bed. How much more so then do we need to be doing so? If I find myself after 2 days or 3 days or 4 days slacking off from this, know that yani, success is with Allah. A person has to ask Allah. You're not going to be successful just because you know it and you know it's good and you need to do it. That's not going to be enough. But rather, we have to seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and success is with Him alone. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, if there's any questions or any corrections or any comments, inshallah, we'll take them after the salat. And whoever's able to stay after the salat, inshallah, we'll stay for a few minutes to have some questions and comments and whatever goes with that. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khairah.